Peter, good morning.
Good to be with you.
Now, what do you think Mr. Morrison's motivations are behind this decision?
The fights over school funding go back decades. The broad current settlement is that the Australian government supports students regardless of what school they go to, but students who go to a non-government school, their parents are expected to pay money. The big question is, how much money? And that changed last year, where Simon Birmingham brought in a much more consistent approach, but non-government schools were going to be expected to pay more in some cases, less in other cases. What happened in response was that, in particular, Catholic school education leaders argued that it was grossly unfair and started attacking the government on very political grounds. They did robocalls at the Batman by-election. They got involved in the Longman by-election. And whilst the Catholic education authorities have typically been fairly close to the Liberal Party, all of a sudden the Liberal Party felt as though they were being attacked from their own base. And they said, Prime Minister Morrison seems to have said, do whatever it takes to make this go away.
Now, a lot of what you've just said didn't really have to do with, the actual implications for the education places and the schools. Do you think this is purely a political move?
I think the deal is very much framed by politics, but there are two parts to it, and you mentioned both of those. The bigger part, the $3.2 billion fund, is money to help students transition from the current system to the new system. And under that new system for non-government schools, they won't be judged on where their parents live, but how much the parents can afford will be judged on how much the parents earn. That's a much more sensible approach. But any time where you have a change in how money is flowing, then people will want to have a little bit of help to ease the transition. And so that $3.2 billion, well, it's more than a little bit of help, it's an enormous amount of help, but it's about getting all schools to a new and better model. So my comments on that would be, it's longer and more expensive than it needs to be, but it gets us to the right end point. The deal then undercuts itself, and that's this $1.2 billion of extra money, which the government claims is sector blind, but is only available to two of the three sectors, to independent schools and to Catholic schools. The government is claiming that it's for a range of priorities, including drought relief, yet they have named it the Choice and Affordability Fund. And the press release is coming out of Catholic Education, and the underlying dynamics of the funding formula suggest that an awful lot of that money is going to go to the families that need it least. It's going to go to Catholic primary schools in highly advantaged areas to keep the fees low, even though the parents could afford to pay more. And I don't see that as a good use of taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, and you've done a lot of research in this area. If you were going to spend, if you were the government and you were going to spend $3.2 billion on school funding, what way would you spend it?
Well, the total amount here is about $4.6 billion. Without having the numbers that the Education Department has, my broad estimate is that they should have put aside about $2 billion, about half of this amount, to make the transition to the new and better model for figuring out how much non-government school parents could pay. They should have then left it there. So the price of the transition to a better approach, in my view, should have been about $2 billion. So suddenly there's about $2.5 billion extra. If I was going to spend that somewhere to do with children's education, I would say there are three obvious candidates. One would be more money to the schools with the most disadvantaged students, many of whom are in government schools, but not all. Some of them are in Catholic or independent schools. Two, to invest in our most expert teachers, as other countries do. They have what's called master teachers who work across schools, ideally regardless of which sector they're in, to improve the quality of teaching. $2.5 billion could have gone an awful long way there. Or three, It could have been invested in early childhood education, again, for the most disadvantaged students, to set them up on the right foot for when they start school.
And while there does seem to be merit in the funding, particularly for drought-affected families, publicly educated children could be potentially not receiving the funding to be sent to school at all due to the drought. Do you think this was taken into account?
The drought relief piece is is a complex and subtle one, and they haven't released many details. There's a number of families who are doing it, doing it really tough across Australia because of the drought. Some of those have children. Whether they're in government schools or non-government schools, they are or whether they don't have children, then they're doing it tough, and so, and the government needs to think about how best to support those families. I'm not an expert in that area. What they've addressed with this is one small part of it for families in drought-affected areas who are choosing non-government schools. Maybe here's a bit of money to keep fees down for a little while. That doesn't seem like a well-integrated model for supporting the families who genuinely are doing it tough through the drought.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for your time.
Very welcome.